When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
You're now listening to the Jillian Michaels Show.
Okay, I'm proud to say that for all of you who missed the Maximize Your Life tour, per your request, we recorded it. Yay. And it's on demand. Yeah, exclusively on Vimeo right now. It's $3 to rent it and watch it. You can stream it to your TV. You can watch it on your computer. You can watch it on your phone, wherever you want. You can buy it and own it forever for $9.99. And all you got to do is go to Vimeo.com/on-demand/Jillian Michaels Live. Huh. And there it is. Vimeo on demand. So if you missed it, if you didn't have the money, if we didn't go to a town near you, $3, people. Vimeo on demand. Check it. Welcome, everybody.
Hey!
Hello.
Hey.
So this is actually an opener, a real opening segment, because it's our very first segment of our recording day.
Uh-huh.
It is.
And how long has it been since we've all seen each other?
It's been a good month.
About a month.
Yeah, a month.
Yeah. Yeah,
a month. Feels like eternity.
It does. And so much changes so quickly.
Oh.
So we need to catch you guys up. I got to tell you who's in the room here. Batum. Now, you guys don't know she's been gone, because you'll have been hearing her for, you know, the last several podcasts, but she's been gone from my life, so she's back today.
Yeah.
Because she, now, well, because she's going to become, I don't know now if it's one of the producer, because then Michelle was going to leave me, because she got this crazy job.
But I can't.
Job.
I just can't.
Okay, so,
now we're going to fight over her.
Andy had a baby. So now, all right, so everyone's got to, we got to play a little catch up here. So let's start first with Michelle. What happened? What happened with your new gig?
Well, I've been you know, a freelancer for CBS, and I love freelancing because you get to do a lot of fun projects like, you know, Jillian stuff, and you're not, like, you know, owned by something. That always bothers me.
Shocker. Leave. That bothers you?
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, I got a really good offer that it would be, like, stupid to pass up. So I took
excited?
It, and I have a 3-year contract.
Oh, my God.
It's a
3 years.
Yeah.
And you're getting married soon.
I know. It was
do you feel the balls and chains? All you need now is a couple of kids and your life's over.
No, I can't do that. Way too much. Slow down!
Wow!
So that's what's happening. And then, Autumn got, got my job. I got very jealous and we're both
fighting. Oh, my God, I'm in Costa Rica and I get this email. I love you. I have to quit. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, okay. Then I emailed Autumn and I was like, hey, girl, just call me. Will you call me? Because I miss you. I love you. Just call me, okay? Because I didn't want to be like, I want you to work again. So I was like very cryptic. And I was like, I just need to talk to you about something. Don't be scared.
Okay, so this is the best part about it, right? So I waited. My birthday was a couple weeks ago. And it lined up with a few weeks after my last day of work.
The big 3-5.
The big 3-5.
Mm.
Oh, Michael took me to Bacara for my birthday in Santa Barbara. It was really sweet. I had a little spa day. These animals have radar for that, because I have not heard from, at this point, it's now, I've been gone for 2 weeks. I've not heard from anybody. I'm thinking, all right, everything's going well. I mean, a couple, like, hey, what's up text messages, but no needs. I get out of my spa day. I am scrubbed and facialed and relaxed and sauna'd. I'm like, oh, this feels good. What time is it?
I'm so refreshed.
Check my phone to see the time. And I have 2 missed calls, 2 text messages from G, an email from Jill. I was like, oh, God. Oh, God. Real quick, to snap me right back. I was dying. I came back to the room. I'm like, those animals have radar. Like, they knew. And I specifically waited that amount of time because I wanted to be available for Nicole. And, you know, just the transition's hard. We've been together for a long time. There's going to be questions. Yeah. And I thought, you know, this is a safe window. No one's going to need me. No one, you know, I'm away.
Yeah.
No, they knew.
No. Yeah. Right back. Never gone.
I blame this on Michelle, though.
Jill's email said, keep an open mind. I was like, oh, God. What's
happening? That's never good when someone says that.
Say that. Hope everything's great.
Well,
can you call me? Keep an open mind.
Can you call me with an open mind?
I'm in Costa Rica. And I knew she was in Costa Rica.
Oh, which
that's
is
I was
a
like,
whole
oh,
other
shit.
Segment. Let me tell you. You have no idea.
Ooh.
Oh, my God. The trip.
Wait, do you want to save it?
From hell. No, I'll make it an opener for another show. But anyway, yeah. So I wooed Autumn to come and help us produce the podcast. And then Andy just had a baby girl. So she's not here. And you're not going to be hearing her for probably a month or so. And then I'm sure she'll be guesting on various shows here and there. But in fact, she has a beautiful little girl named Pearl. So I thought we could call
Pearl.
Andy. Let's get Andy on the phone. I'll let her. Mm. I'll let her fill everybody in.
Hello.
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 How goes it, mommy dearest?
Good. So good. I had a baby unicorn. I swear to God, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Oh. No, don't say it. No, don't say that. Don't jinx yourself like that.
I don't want to jinx myself. It's just too good. It's too good. From delivery to the smooth sailing of the first week.
Oh, mother is cringing right now at you.
You know what, though? She deserves this.
Yeah.
And I said that to Heidi. I was like, Andy has had... And Andy, please forgive me. Like, I don't want this to sound insensitive, but you know how they'll talk about women that get married and it's like, oh, always the bridesmaid, never the bride. And Andy was always like, oh, my best friend had a baby. Oh, you guys had two babies. Okay. And was always like the best auntie, the best auntie, the best auntie. And was like, I'm fine with that. That's okay. And because Andy didn't, years ago, your doctor was like, you're never going to get pregnant naturally.
I was 35 and I went in and I spent $1 billion on the same doctor that got Nicole Kidman pregnant. And I was like, he has the answer. Mm. If Nicole can do it, I can do it. But then when they did all these tests, they were like, no, cyst on one side, twist on the other. And I was like, whoa.
Wow. What's a twist, diagnosis. Mama? Like a tube is twisted?
Yeah, one of my little tubes just, I don't know, has a little bit of a funky turn in the place where the fallopian tube is supposed to have it. And then they also said, just because of my age, I was 35. So with all that, they just said, it will be impossible to do it on your own, and you'll just have to go through IVF. He's like, you can do it, but you're going to have to do it the next couple years. And obviously, you guys know that I wasn't in a position with a relationship to do that. So it was like,
it's also financially.
Oh, so I wouldn't have been able to afford it, like for real. You know, so it was immaculate prevention with the guy I was with anyway. And so, you know, I just, so because it happened, I just can't believe it. You guys have a baby.
Awesome.
Not only do you have a baby, she's just absolutely gorgeous and just the sweetest thing. I mean, she's a little angel and she looks so much like you.
She does.
She even has your hot, sexy, long, lean body.
What?
Well,
she's
10 days
old.
How does that happen?
She's not a hot second. She's like 9 pounds.
She's she's got that Andy bod going
on. It just was crazy. And then, you know, I saw Tate's face and she crowned. And then when they pulled her out, it's just like they kept pulling and pulling and pulling.
How long was she, Andy?
She was almost 2 feet.
Wow. See?
Told you.
Oh, my gosh. Really, Mama?
21 and a half. 21 and a half.
She's supermodel.
So we'll see. The legs are long, but she looks chubby in photos and is leaner than she appears. But you guys, I'm so grateful. You know what? I think the delivery helps and epidural. God bless the moms who want to kind of, you know, bite on the leather strap and do the Navy SEALs version. But, you know, I just did so much research and they were like, chill, man, on the epidural. It doesn't really even affect the baby. By the time the baby comes out, it's gone through your blood.
Dude, so I was like, the Navy SEAL version. Oh my gosh, that's perfect. I honestly, I remember, like, I can't remember if we've talked about this on the show before, and it's tough to say, and I know this is going to sound crazy, but I think that, like, until you have a kid growing inside you, you don't understand what someone is thinking. And I definitely, and I'm, so many women are going to get mad at me, but I find that I relate more to the way men think and fathers think, because I didn't have either one of my kids growing inside of me. So for me, I'm like, are you bananas? Would you rip your wisdom teeth out without freaking, you know,
analogy.
You know, I'm like, who would, like, ouch, are you in? And because I have also done some homework, and I haven't read that there's any sort of evidence that, you know, it can damage the baby. And my mom had a freaking epidural.
Mine.
Look, I have my own problems, but I don't think it's because my mom had an epidural. You know?
I think that was your role in the whole childbearing experience, and I think that that's completely fair, you know, because you go through these changes, you get prepared physically, mentally, and all of that, but then once the pain comes in, pregnancy gets real. Like, the nurses at the hospital that we chose, we liked them, and they were like, say yes to drugs, don't even, because just why volunteer for pain if you don't need to? So the wisdom teeth analogy is perfect. Like, why do that?
And I read something about... Oh, sorry, Andy, go ahead. Finish.
No. After four hours, I was like, tap me in, because at that point, you start to go bananas with the pain. And I would think I have a good threshold, but it shows you where it is. And I was like, no, I need help.
You know, here's what else is interesting about the word natural. And I remember I read this in Bringing Up Bebe, and... This is an author who lives in France and who's
loved
had two kids
it.
In France. And she was talking about how only in America do they use the word natural to imply that anything other than, you know, like an epidural or this or that is unnatural. And she's like, that's really... And she goes, in France, we call it modern medicine.
Yeah.
Only in America do they do this. And, you know, I find that that's a very dangerous word, that word natural. And it gets really abused, and it's used to manipulate people so often, whether it's, oh, natural marriage. Like, have you heard, as opposed to, like, I get, if you're going
to
say.
As opposed to.
Well, gay marriage is unnatural, that kind of thing.
That's awful.
So, I've read a lot of that stuff, and it's fine. If you want to say traditional, go ahead and say traditional, but natural? That's, I mean.
Yeah, anything else implies unnatural, which is pejorative, and I don't agree with it. Like, they just. This hospital, I felt, was pretty progressive in that they were like, why have pain? Why volunteer for pain if it's not going to be harmful? And if you have your reasons for doing it, go on ahead. But we don't recommend it because it just makes you exhausted. And you need to spend that hour after your, you know, after delivery with your baby for the other benefits that they believe in. You know, the skin on skin, the breastfeeding, the latching. They're like, why do you want to be exhausted and feel like you barely made it? Like, be fresh. And I was like, fresh.
Andy, I have an important question for you.
Go.
Did you cut the umbilical cord within 10 seconds after the birth?
Andy, did you see this debate thing? By the way, I don't remember this umbilical cord debate at all.
I've read it a couple times, and then just in doing kind of research in my own field with pregnancy, the specialty of it, there has been a lot of articles with it, just implying that the blood cells still pump through, and it gives your baby a really higher chance. Now, this was developed by some lady, I believe, in the 60s or 70s. She was a doula or a...
Why didn't I hear about this, Andy, when we had Phoenix? This was never... No one even brought this up to us. Is this
There's something
just
about,
resurfacing,
like,
or am I an idiot?
The blood in the placenta, the hemoglobin or something, and it's carrying, like, the oxygen to the tissues or whatever. And so apparently they say delaying it can help, but the ACOG, American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, don't pick it up. They're not picking up what this lady's putting down. So there's some philosophy that are saying, but because the ACOG has not said that they feel it's beneficial, they feel that the last couple pumps. But you know what? My doctor did delay, cut the cord, but it wasn't immediate. They pulled her out, and they were just kind of assessing her, and they kind of scooped out her mouth and tried to aspirate her. Then they cut the cord. So I feel like a little bit of time did go by, and they were all about, you know, the skin on skin as well. But they talk about it beforehand. So it gives you a bit of a birth plan, you know?
Yeah, that was my question. Was that something that you talked about with your doctor in advance?
Yeah, they asked me, like, what's your birth plan? But because they induce me, because I'm a senior citizen, they already kind of they weren't giving me certain liberties because I was a little dilated, and I was going to put my heels in the ground and say, I'm not staying, I'm healthy, and I'm leaving. But because I was dilated, they were like, let's just start the process. The baby's going to get bigger. You know, we had no idea she was a monster. And so they did that. And then once that happens, they go over the next phase. How do you feel about skin on skin? We advocated. This is the research. But they didn't mention the cord. But the doctor just did it. And I frankly didn't even remember that that was something I'd planned to talk about. At that point, I was just like kind of a little freaked out that I was having a baby because I had a baby.
Yeah. Did you? Okay. Yes, I know the answer to this, but I do want to bring this up because I think it's become super trendy. Women are eating.
Yep.
The placenta.
Yep.
I'm just going to say that. Here's the thing. Like, we're talking about epidurals. We're talking about do you or don't you cut the cord, like all this stuff. Here's the thing. I think this is, I'm going to say this is a personal choice. My mom didn't eat her placenta. My mom had an epidural, and I'm sure they cut the cord, and I was a perfectly healthy kid.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm bananas, but again, that's a product of nurture, not a product of nature. So, and everybody else I know from my generation, nobody ate the placenta, nobody cut, you know, and we're all fine. So I think that like all this stuff kind of comes up, and I wonder if it isn't to a certain extent meant to kind of prey upon the vulnerability of a new mom where it's like, oh my God, I don't want to hurt my baby. Oh, I need to eat my placenta. I'm like, dude, what? Like, Andy, did you study that? I mean, because I honestly was like, I'm not doing this.
No, I didn't, because there was too much research that just really said that there wasn't any proof. Like, even Time Magazine, they did an article that was released today by Northwestern Medicine Review, and they have a lot of published studies that shows whether you consume it or cook it or put it in a pill, there's no proven tangible benefits in eating a placenta. So I was like, ugh, nah, it's cool. I was just thinking about a sandwich and possibly a latte. I was like,
and
maybe some Jello. I don't know.
You gotta be really careful too. Like anything that is promoted, in my opinion, with kind of a gimmick. Like when I look at things like, oh, it's the paleo diet, and it's the way, you know, cavemen ate, which by the way, there are a million different paleo diets. People do it differently. You can't really lock down, you know, one particular diet. Like there's many different twists on it. But on top of that, our ancestors were not able to hunt and catch all of this meat all the time. And in addition, it's not a sustainable way to live for the planet. Like, but yet it's like, oh, no. This is how, you know, paleo cavemen, this is how genetically, you know, and that's not the truth. And then you look at this, and I said to someone who was doing it, and I was like, who I'm not going to mention because she's a public figure. And I was like, tell me something. Why? I don't need to burn any bridges, girl.
Okay.
She's sweet, too, and I just don't want to be passing judgment.
And well-intended, but the thing is, though, is, like, where are you getting the information from in the same way, even the vaccine debate and everything that happens with children? Sometimes we get on a bandwagon without, like, challenging the information, and we go, yeah, that'll make sense, but really it's just, like, WebMD is not your consultant.
Yeah, yeah. And that's another one, by the way, where they use the word natural. Mm. And anti-vaxxers always say, well, this is the natural way, and it's like, well, isn't medicine's whole job is to kind of defy nature.
Right.
Yeah.
If you let it kind of take its natural course, it kills people. And now, look, I don't know. Again, you know, I was vaccinated as a kid, but if you don't want to vaccinate your kids, this is a major hot topic that I don't think we need to get into.
No.
We need a doctor on. But at the end of the day, again, that's a danger. I find that the way people use that word is dangerous. But when I said to this woman, why are you eating this? And she's like, well, on the Serengeti, animals eat their placenta. And I was like, but dude, it's because they're trying to hide the smell from lions. Wow. Right. And that's the,
and
I mean, that's my other thing.
They're young. And I, you know,
right.
So we got to consider that extreme natural selection.
Yeah, that was one of my other questions about it. It's like, for, you know, women have been giving, we've been giving birth, human beings, for thousands of years.
Yeah.
And no one, to my knowledge, it's not a regular regular thing that people were eating the placenta. Yeah, animals eat the placenta, right, Andy? Like, they also eat their young. They do other things. I don't understand. I just don't get it. A girlfriend of mine just found out that she's pregnant. It's really exciting.
Aww.
A really good friend of mine. Yeah, and they've been trying for some time. So she was really happy, and she goes, my acupuncturist volunteered. She said that she could pill the placenta.
put in pills for me. And I was like, and we were both quiet on the phone. And I was like, look, I support whatever decision you make on that, but why would you do that?
Yeah, just question why. That's all I feel like we need to do to kind of make a personal decision for ourselves.
Yeah.
Question why, like just become a little bit educated and look at the research. I mean, if it's being suggested in one category, use science and testing. I mean, they've got enough information now that they know how beneficial was it for the babies that did it 6 months, a year later, and when they're finding no correlation of superior health, it's just a blech. No, not
yeah.
like
another
and if
thing
it's
that
beneficial,
I
Hey, you know,
I don't judge anybody. I just wouldn't. I'm trying to say to the women out there who are like, should I, shouldn't I? Am I a bad mom if I don't?
Right.
I just want to give that woman a little peace of mind. If she's like, this sounds really, I don't want to do it, but am I a bad mom if I'm, it's like, no, you're not a bad mom if you do. You're not a bad mom if you don't.
No.
Yeah.
And, you know, one more thing I wanted to bring up, like with Heidi, I remember, you know, thinking, oh my God, thank God it was 2012, because if this was 70 years ago, she and Phoenix would have died.
Yeah.
He wasn't able to come out. He was too big. They had to give her a C-section. It was a whole, it was a whole thing. And I was like, oh my God, like they would have been dead. And I've read a lot of books, and women used to die in childbirth, period.
A lot
of them. And, you know, nowadays, thank God, doctors have the ability and the knowledge and the resources to be able to do things like C-sections and what have you. And so I just want to say, like, if you're looking at an epidural going, but I'm such a bad mom and it's not natural. Well, how natural is a C-section? Do you want you and your baby to die? Because that's what would have happened to Heidi. So I just...
That women even schedule nowadays like they do a facial. I had a lady that came in the day before me, and we were checking in. We had to do some, I don't know, administrative stuff to register the baby. And the lady was there, and I said, when are you having the baby? She goes, tomorrow. And I was like, know that? And she goes, well, no, I have a set scheduled C. And it was her first baby, so that didn't even mean she was cautionary, you know, to the first pregnancy having a C or required anything. She planned it. She made it a schedule in her, you know, iPhone, and was coming in, and they were going to cut her open and take it out. And that was her plan. I was like, hey, dude, you know, whatever suits you and whatever you guys want is your birth plan. But technology, God, there's no way, you know?
Yeah. And here's what I think. I think the bottom line is this. Whatever you choose, if you choose natural childbirth and you weren't guilted into it, then God, awesome. Good for you. You know, if you want an epidural and you're feeling afraid, that's okay too. If you want to eat your placenta, if you don't, but you're feeling like, oh, I should, or I'm a bad mom, there's no right or wrong way.
Agreed.
And that's the bottom line. And I don't think anybody should be guilted into something.
No.
And if
you read it on Goop, you can question it. If you get a coupon from Groupon for a 2-for-1 placenta pill, you know, you can question it. It's
exactly.
Okay. Or if you want to do it, do it. If there's no harm to it and it makes you feel good, then go for it. But if you don't want to go through it, don't let anything pressure you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So our little wrap up here is we're going to have Andy popping in and out over the next month via the phone. But as you guys can imagine, she has a newborn who is feeding like on the hourly.
On the hour.
Yeah. So that's how, you know, so she loves everybody. She's going to be supporting us from the rocking chair, tails from the boob. That's what we're going to call these sequences. So, Andy, we'll be checking back in with you a little later on, Mama.
I miss you guys.
Yeah,
hello to everyone.
We miss you,
Andy,
too.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Mwah.
Mwah.
Okay, guys, I want to talk to you about the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. They are the world's largest nutrition school. If you want a career helping people get healthy, these guys will help you become an authority on food, lifestyle, and healthy living. And as a student, you're going to be your own first client. So if you're feeling stuck in a rut, like you've hit a plateau, get all this knowledge and information and let it bust you out of that and open your eyes to all the knowledge and possibilities so you can make the most empowered choices for yourself and any clients that you choose to take on. Their online program covers all dietary theories with the top 100 teachers in the world, Deepak Chopra, Arianna Huffington, Marie Forleo, Dr. Mark Hyman, and they also give you essential business training to help you launch your own health coaching practice. Being healthy is every person's right, and Integrative Nutrition is on a mission to reverse the healthcare crisis and make the world a better place. You do have the power to be your healthiest, happiest self and help others do the same. Go to www.integrativenutrition.com MaximizeMyLife.com/JillianMichaels to get access to a free sample class and feel what it would be like to be a student at this life-transforming school. That's www.integrativenutrition.com/JillianMichaels. Okay, I love this new sponsor, Plated.com. Here's how it works. If you love to cook but aren't that great at it, or you love to cook but you don't have a ton of time, these guys have you covered. They have gourmet meals that are healthy and delicious. You can choose from any recipe you like, and once you do, they will deliver all of those ingredients pre-measured right to your door whenever you want. And even if you're not home to get the delivery, the box will keep everything fresh and cool until midnight on the day it arrives, even when it's warm outside. So all you have to do is go to plated.com/Jillian now, check it out, and you'll get free shipping with your first order. Again, chef quality gourmet healthy meals of your choosing delivered straight to your door, all the ingredients, 30 minutes or less to prepare. What are you waiting for? As I said, free shipping with the first order. That's plated.com/Jillian. Okay, so I was reading this article. What is this site? I don't want to get sued. DailyHealthPost.com. I don't even know how I came across it, but it was kind of interesting. They had this little headline, right? 3 easy rules to follow for permanent weight loss. And I was like, oh, and then it said, according to science. So, of course, I was like, oh, all right. What are these 3 easy rules? And they actually made perfect sense. And it's something that I thought we should talk about. So, basically, the article starts out and it says, getting people to eat healthier is a goal that many public health initiatives have struggled with. And yes, it says, like, it's easy to teach them, mm-hmm, but it's not easy to get them to implement it. So they said that these researchers did studies and they realized, all right, ready? What researchers came up with is a way of looking at nutrition that they deemed the CAN, C-A-N, approach. And it has 3 basic principles. And the whole thing is about making healthier options more convenient and readily available. So think about this. Okay. First of all, if you give somebody a food, right? So the first one is convenience. That's the first one. Number one. If I'm going to give somebody a health food that they can't find, well, that's not going to happen. No. I mean, it's like, and by the way, there are a lot of products I consume that are hard to find.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not going to be like, oh, I want you to have the organic sun food cocoa nibs. Because I know that they're going to be, you know, the person living in Minnesota is going to be like, where the hell am I going to find the organic? Now, here's the great news. This has just changed with Thrive Market.
Right.
So now Thrive Market has changed the game because this is what they do. And they basically turn around and say, great, anything you want, like, it's likely we've got it. If we don't have it, tell us about it. We'll get it.
And we'll get
it to
your door.
And they can ship it straight to you. Yeah. So that has changed the game. But up until that, the food desert thing, huge problem.
Brutal.
And if people were like, oh, yeah, okay, well, within 10 miles of me, I've got a 7-Eleven, a gas station, and a Taco Bell.
Yeah, no.
You know, I mean, and even if they were like, yeah, there's a Piggly Wiggly, and I can have hot dog buns or hot dog buns. I mean, it was
I've been there. I've been stuck in those places, and I don't understand how people
live. But let's presume that we're functioning in a world still where the masses don't know about Thrive Market or what have you. And for those of you who haven't heard those segments, it's a supermarket that delivers healthy food to your door at cost, and it's a membership fee.
They're not online supermarket.
Yes, sorry, online supermarket. So you just go to thrivemarket.com if you want to check it out. But let's say you're not, right? Mm-hmm. So let's deal with what we are dealing with. This food has got to be accessible, whatever you choose. Mm-hmm. So if you set yourself up on a diet or a program with food that you can't find, you will fail.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's too expensive for you, you will fail.
True.
Because that's still not convenient.
True.
So it has to be within your budget, which is one of the reasons, and I'll try to give some examples. Crave Jerky, for example, right? These guys have an organic grass-fed line of food.
Yeah.
It's expensive.
Yeah. Mm.
And so then the one that they also have a line that, and this is such a tough word because it doesn't really mean anything, but I call it natural. But what natural means to me is it's got no preservatives, no fake flavors, fake fats, no MSG, no artificial colors, sweeteners, etc. But it's not organic grass-fed, right? And so to me, it's like, do I want you to have the organic one? Yes.
Yeah.
Can you afford it? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to look for the healthier option that is going to be at the supermarket and that they can afford.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, you know what? This is a much better product than the products that are out there. And something like Pop Chips we've talked about before,
yeah.
which I'll get into in a minute on Pop Chips. So the next thing is it's got to be attractive. So if the name, the appearance, mm-hmm. the visual of the food is not attractive, you're not going to eat it. Food is a very visual experience. And if you give somebody like, some health food is just, you know, a plate of quinoa. I mean, it's got to be prepared. I don't love quinoa, to be honest. I know it's really good for you.
She did. It's on her no list.
I can't. It tastes like dirt to me. Unless you mix it into a dish the
unless
right
you
way.
Mix it in with a lot of butter.
Like,
salt.
You idiot. In a salad. Like, Heidi knows how to mix it into a salad for me with, like, feta cheese and stuff, and it's okay. But, I mean, I look at it and I'm like, ugh, looks like sand.
Yeah.
You know, and it's taken me such a long time that I'm like, I know I need to eat this because it's good for me, but or not need, but should. And so attractiveness is a big deal, man. If you're looking at the food going yucko, you're not going to eat it.
Well, think about it. I mean, I don't know if you guys watch the Food Network like I do. And lately I've had a lot more time to like food porn out. But I love one of my favorite shows is Chopped. I love that show. But one third of their judging is on presentation.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about professional chefs. Like when you go into these 5-star restaurants, it doesn't have to just taste good. It has to look impeccable because we are visual and we do want to see something that's appealing and that we want to eat. I don't want to look at slop on the plate.
That's
even
so
if it's the best thing I ever tasted, I won't be inclined to order that dish or make that dish or even grab that leftover out of my fridge if it looks
true.
Meh.
Yeah.
Boring.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And then the next thing on the list was normalcy.
Okay.
And I really like this. And I realized that I've used this principle, I don't want to say trick, in getting people to choose healthier for you, or we call them better for you options. Because I remember a long time ago, G pulled me aside and he's like, listen, you're functioning in a dream world. And he basically was like, people are not able to afford or comprehend the concept of like, oh, kale chips. He's like, they're not going to do it, Jill.
Yeah.
He's like, it's like a small percentage are going to be like, yes, organic kale chips. Got it. And my 3-year-old's going to love those. Like he was like, you're going to have to start finding things that people are used to eating. And we're going to have to turn it around and start making those foods better for you.
Like
Pop Chips. You got it. Michelle's holding a bag of the new crazy hot flavor.
They're really
so good.
But
let's be fair. All right. So when I brought this in, what is the first thing I said to you this morning?
They're crazy hot. And I said,
no. But I said it reminds me of
Cheetos.
Flaming hot Cheetos.
Yeah.
But healthy.
But it doesn't make it
healthier.
Yeah.
So like, okay, let's look at this. A Pop Chip. What is it? It's potato and salt. But, ready? Real ingredients. No added preservatives, no artificial flavors, no synthetic colors, no cholesterol, 0 grams of trans fat. So when you look at that and you know that all that stuff is going to be in another competitive product.
Right.
Because people eat chips. And they're going to want a potato chip.
Right.
So he was like, you know, you got to start thinking about taking the things that people eat and then stripping some of the crap out of it. Right? So anyway, with that said, I was like, this is a really good point. And so what I want you to do is think about whatever diet or health kick you want to take on. Is it convenient? Is it affordable? Is it appetizing? And is it something that you eat on a regular basis?
Hmm.
Like waffles. We have these, what brand is that? Healthy Choice,
Nature's,
I think it is. Nature's
Path,
maybe?
Nature's
Path.
Nature's Path.
We've got these hemp waffles.
Yeah, those are good.
And you just stick them in the toaster. And we'll put like peanut butter on top of it or fruit on top of it. And, you know, it's like people are going to eat waffles. If you're going to eat waffles or pancakes, like that's a much better option.
True.
You know, and then we put something healthy on top of it. So, again, okay, a potato chip. That's a much better option.
Mm-hmm.
Crave jerky. That's a much better option than that crap that you buy at the gas station. People are not going to give up sweets.
True.
What are healthier versions of their favorite candy bars? What are healthier versions of your favorite soda, even though I really wish people would avoid soda entirely, is just a complete waste of calories.
Yeah.
And I've yet to find any sort of soda I would ever endorse. But with that said, you know, I take sparkling water and add juice to it.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit of juice.
Or I do like kombucha as my soda.
There you go. Yeah.
It's my treat.
Which is expensive, by the way. But with that said.
But it's like soda. It's great.
I hear you. So with that said, you know, I want you to keep those principles in mind if you want to be successful with the diet regimen. If it doesn't follow those three principles, there's a pretty good darn chance you won't make it. Period. End of story, let alone all the psychological issues behind eating. So set yourself up for success. And guess what? These techniques, they're used by people hawking bad for you food.
Interesting.
Come on. Convenient. McDonald's.
Yeah.
Cheap.
That's their model.
Yeah. Cheap, convenient, normal burgers, fries, American.
Happy meal package.
Happy face. Yeah. So start making these things work for us instead of against us.
I like that, Julian Michaels.
Too. Thank you.
What a segment.
I know. Heidi is so happy about this sponsor. This is like, I mean, we get swag. I got a box from Honest Company. Yeah, get jealous, everybody. Yeah. Except her twin sister is actually having a baby. So then she started giving it to Heather. I was like, no. These are my products. And they could be your products, everybody. So I think you guys know by now that Honest.com is a sponsor of the podcast. And we're really excited about it because we love what these guys do. Basically, they supply you and your family with products for personal care, home cleaning, diapers, wipes, vitamin supplements that have no harsh chemicals or irritants ever. Clean products, safe products that you can feel good using on yourself, for yourself, and on your family, and for your family. And guess what they're doing for our listeners? They're giving our listeners a free trial of their most popular products. All you have to do is visit freehonest.com and choose a free trial of up to 9 products for just $5.95 shipping and handling. You can choose from diapers and wipes, personal care, home cleaning essentials, health and wellness vitamins and supplements. Get your free trial today for just $5.95 shipping and handling at freehonest.com. That's freehonest.com. Okay, guys, Audible time, audible.com. You know the drill. The leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information. They have over 180,000 audiobooks, people. Users can sign up very, very easily by going to audiblepodcast.com/exercise. They're going to give my listeners a free book of their choice and a free 30-day trial. Plus, when you do sign up, you build credits. So you get free books as well. Yeah. Nobody else does that. Nobody. And you can listen to the book anywhere. iPhone, Android, Kindle, iPod, MP3 player. It is that easy. Autumn recommended a book. All right. Bossy Pants by Tina Fey. I heard it's awesome. I guess I should read it. She wants you to read it. So what are you waiting for? Go to audiblepodcast.com/exercise. That's audiblepodcast.com/exercise. And get started today. Okay, everybody, we're back, and we have our favorite psychiatrist, Dr. Gail Saltz, on with us today. Dr. Yay! Saltz, how are you?
I'm great. Nice to be with you again.
So, everybody, in case you missed our first segment with Dr. Saltz, she is one of the most renowned, world-renowned psychiatrists. Mm-hmm. She's got best-selling books. She's got a column with health. She does work with Tylenol and researches HowWeFamily.com, which you can learn more about, of course, on that site or on Dr. Gail's site, which is DrGailSaltz.com. Dr. Gail is on today to talk about something that has been plaguing me, and it's how to talk to your kids about the birds and the bees. Welcome.
Let
me tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees.
I know. It's a toughie. You know, it shouldn't be a toughie. It really shouldn't. And I do think a lot of parents have gotten better and are more comfortable. But it's still amazing to me that in 2015, as soon as your kid says, "Where does babies come from?" a lot of parents are like, "Bah!" deer in the headlights.
Yeah,
you know,
and the stork. It's like, what? I mean.
Yeah. Okay. So that's my first.
Don't
cardinal.
Do. Ah. No. Oh, I'm so glad you said this because I'm so glad you said this because it's like I can tell she, you know, because our friend Andy just had a baby and my daughter's like, but how did it get in there?
Right.
How did it get in there,
well,
Mom?
Of course, it's a very logical question.
But she's
so
five.
Here's the deal.
Okay.
The most important thing, first of all, is to always be truthful and never make up a story, which you then have to later acknowledge you lied about, and you will then already be suspicious for being a good source of information.
Okay.
And you always want your child, no matter what their age is, right, to be able to come to you and ask or to be able to hear something from you and believe it. So don't make stuff up. And also, find out what they're asking. So sometimes parents feel like they hear, like, where do they come from? And they feel like they've got to spill the entire, like, I'm just, you know, I'm talking about penises and vaginas and stuff. And really, your kid was just saying, like, does he come from New Jersey? Find out what your kid is actually asking. So the starter on this, the most important thing is, I suggest, use correct anatomical terms as your kid is growing up. I know it's tempting to make up little names and whatnot, but your kid's going to go out into the world, and they need to be able to converse with others in some way that they're understood and that they don't embarrass themselves.
Can we say private area? Like, right now, my daughter has named her area, she did when she was three, her Popeye. Don't ask me why.
Okay.
And we've run with that. But
This is what I would do. I would, at by five, because she's, you know, kindergarten, right?
Yeah, she's going into kindergarten, yeah.
Yeah, so you don't want your kid going to school and talking about Popeyes and no one has any idea what they're talking about.
Oh,
right? So actually, you do want her to know the real body parts, certainly by school
age. It's okay, Jillian.
Right.
It's okay.
It's okay to say, like, what you call your Popeye is really called your vagina or your vulva.
Got it.
And you want to, you know, help her understand, urethra is not the same place as vagina. It's not the same place. You know, pee doesn't come out the same place as babies come out. That kind of thing, so that she has just a very, very basic body understanding, which, by the way, it increases body pride. It really does.
Got it.
Right.
No shame. I understand.
Yeah, no shame. And, you know, if you feel that, this is what I would say. If you feel like you're going to get kind of stymied and uncomfortable because some, you know, it's understandable. Some people are like, I have to say that word. One thing that can be helpful is reading a book with your child. It actually so happens, I didn't come here to promote my book.
I know, this is me. I begged her to do this segment.
There are many good books. But the first book that I have is called Amazing You, Getting Smart About Your Private Parts. And I did that book for little kids, like your age kids, like three and five, because it has no intercourse in it. Because developmentally, kids of three and five really probably aren't interested in nor developmentally ready for the intercourse talk.
That's what I was going to ask you. Yeah. Like, when is the right age to have that
talk? When they're little, you're going to start with, like, you name their parts, you use the names for their parts.
Okay.
You help that. It's also time to explain no one else touches their parts, right?
Right. Okay.
You know, private parts are private. But you also might address, because most small children, in fact, almost all small children, masturbate at some point or another.
Okay.
And by that, I don't mean in the way that an adult does, but, you know, just they're rubbing around because it feels good, and that's normal. It's completely, and parents get panicked, like, what does this mean about my child?
Mm-hmm.
It means nothing. It means they're a normal child, and you don't want to shame them, but you do want to tell them that it's something that if they want to do, they do it in private.
Got it.
Because you don't want your child to go to kindergarten and, like, you know, hang out on the, you know, book nappy carpet and be going at it. You know, you want them to know that they could go in their bathroom or they could go in their bedroom, but it's not something you do in front of other people.
Of course.
It's something you do in private. So all of those topics are important, I think, for that young age group. That's why I address them in that book.
Can I stop you? It's okay to call the parts, like, vagina, because I feel like, why we're so uncomfortable. Jillian, like, cringe when she said,
like,
vagina.
The word is brutal.
But do you not like it? Because it was always tough.
It's just so medical.
No, because we know it's a word that we're not supposed to use when we're kids. Like, I think it's the way our parents made us feel uncomfortable about
it's
it.
Just
yeah.
so,
it's because
clinical.
It seems loaded to you, and you're thinking with your adult mind about vagina.
Okay.
But for a kid, if you just go, that's your foot, that's your knee,
that's your
vagina, that's
your ear.
For them, I mean, look, it is their part, and, you know, and it's a part that you want them to be every bit as pleased with as all their other parts.
Yeah, of course.
So it's really in your delivery, you
all
know?
Right. Yeah.
And it's hard because adults, when they think of the words for genitals, they think different things. They think of it attached to sex, which kids are not doing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Of course.
Kids are sexual beings, but their sexuality is like what feels good, you know, or who they feel attached to, but not like who they're not sexual acts.
Okay. So they know at those ages, they know the names for things.
Yeah.
And I also read somewhere they have to know in case someone tries to touch them there and they're like, my Popeye. Like,
right.
People aren't going to
exactly.
understand that.
Look, it could be anything from, I mean, I know this sounds weird, but like kids have accidents. Like
yeah.
you fall down, you hurt your penis, you hurt, you know, like you
yeah.
know, if you're like my hoo-hoo and you,
yeah.
the teacher has no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And also, honestly, a kid can be embarrassed when they are naming something and the other kid is like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And
then she's
going to
be
and,
embarrassed.
Yeah,
yeah
you don't
it.
Want to start that whole thing. So.
Ugh.
That's why I think I'm not saying you can never use the word Popeye at home. If you know, as long as she understands what the actual name
is.
Is.
There you go. I understand. Okay. And so
then at some point, and it's different for different kids because developmentally kids have interest at different points. At one point, you will have explained that she has a vagina, that boys have a penis, that. That how is a baby made? You will say that a sperm, which is from boys,
right.
meets with an egg, which is in the ovaries of girls, and when they come together, they start growing into multiple cells, and that's what becomes the baby, right, that lives in the uterus. So
yeah.
that's all explainable at a young age. And truthfully, kids, certainly before the age of, I would say, around 7, pretty rarely ask more than that. They're like content. They're like, oh, okay, so the baby grows in the uterus and it comes out the vagina. Got it. But at some point developmentally, they start to go, wait a minute, if a sperm is over there and an egg is over here,
yep.
then how exactly
there.
Does that happen? When they ask you that question, they're telling you developmentally they're ready to hear, you know, how the sperm got to the egg. And that is a cue to explain about intercourse.
Okay.
And, of course, if you choose to also explain that, you know, if that's not what happened in your instance, what did happen? You know, we got sperm from,
this
boy.
Of course. I didn't even think about that.
Right. So, you know, and explain that as well. But you do want to explain intercourse at that point, I think, and you do want to explain, you know, this is where you have a chance to instill your values, I would say. And that really is up to you. So my next book, for instance, is called Changing You, and it's about puberty. So in this context, you're going to be talking about, right, how bodies change and parts grow and hair grows. And you know why you want to start doing this? Because kids are developing younger and younger. And few
sure.
things are scarier than when stuff starts happening and you don't know why or if it should be. So certainly, before your child enters middle school, you certainly will have wanted to explain about menstruation.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty terrifying for a girl to be bleeding and not know what is
yeah.
going on.
I thought I was dying.
Yes.
Did you really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it does do
how
that.
Old
it's terrible.
Are you?
Sure.
I was 12, but like,
see, I was a lot older.
Right.
I was like 15.
Yeah. See, still
so
kids
late.
Are getting
so she hadn't given me the talk yet.
Younger and younger. So you want to preempt. If you're going to send your kid to sleepaway camp where they
wow.
will hear about it from
of
somebody
course.
Else, you want to preempt that before they get to middle school, certainly, and maybe before that if they're asking. So if
okay.
they're like, what are tampons? What are, you know, they see commercials. There may be many opportunities, and then you're going to ask them what they're really asking you, and then you're going to answer
right.
them.
Got it.
And understand. You're not going to harm them by answering them. And believe me, if it's too early, they're just going to sort of tune out. You know, they'll be like, yeah, okay, got it, enough. And
okay.
you know, they just sort of. Now, some kids will actually be getting older and they don't want to hear it. I mean, they're just really inhibited and uncomfortable. And you start talking about it and they're
yeah.
like, la, 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 I don't want to hear it. And at some point you have to say, you know, this really is important, and if you're embarrassed to hear it from me, you know, let's talk about who you would feel comfortable
oh,
talking
that's
with.
Smart.
So maybe that's an aunt, maybe it's a family friend, maybe it's, you know, you can decide together who, and you can give them the book, or they can go on their own with the book, but you don't want to, you know, you don't want to allow your kid to really be unequipped, let's just say.
My son's not going to want these conversations with us, and that's when our Uncle G is going to do this
you know
for
what?
Him.
You know what? When you're driving and you're facing the other direction is a great time.
Okay.
When they're
right.
in the back seat and they don't have to look at your face.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's a great time.
Okay.
So, you know, you know your child and you can kind of plan for that, but I'm telling you, if you are calm and very nonchalant about it, and it's matter of fact and like normal. They will be too, for the most part. So, you know, that's your turning point. That's when, you know, you can explain the rest, and then you've set the stage for later. If they want to be able to ask you about, or you want to be able to talk to them about sexually transmitted diseases and protection, and things that might be going on. You know, friends are giving boys blowjobs.
Yeah.
What should I do?
It's starting so young. They know it. They know about it before you're ready to give them the talk. You know.
Yes, they do. And let me tell you something. Parents have a huge impact on their child's sexual activity.
Yeah.
As teenagers, you feel like they're not listening to you, they actually are. And in fact, again, data shows this, that mothers telling their children they want them to wait. Those kids wait later.
Really?
Yeah.
I was raised in a Catholic family, and I even had a class. I mean, it was a Catholic school, and the nun was like, you know, your sex is a gift, and she had a present, and it was like a box, and she's like, if you open it, it's like a peach. If you bite into it too early, it won't be sweet. So like for
I love that.
I was tormented though, but I didn't have sex for the longest time because I was so freaked out. But it worked.
I mean, what I said earlier about instilling your values, I think that's a time when you can say, it's your choice. You know, you can say, this is what people do when they get married, or this is what people do when they love each other very much.
I think
it's important
to say, this is what I say.
Sex is very powerful. It changes you emotionally.
That scares me when you say that, though. As a kid,
true,
that freaks
though.
Me out.
And as a girl, yeah, there were things I wish had not happened. I was never raped or molested, but I got pressured into things that I didn't want to do.
Yeah, I think just knowing that, because it's true that, you know, when you know, young people have a sexual experience, it does make them vulnerable to emotional hurt.
Absolutely.
So I think they need to know that they need to feel ready for that.
Yep.
And have feelings about somebody that make them ready. It doesn't mean that they won't get hurt, but they have to have some amount of feeling emotionally prepared and having giving some thought to it. You don't want it to be like, this is just a clinical act and it's a throwaway and whatever, you know, because that's not true.
Dr. Saltz, I know we've kept you. I had a 15-minute.
Yeah,
no, forgive me for the abrupt wrap-up here, everybody, but I did make a promise. So, Dr. Saltz, what is that book that you wrote on the birds and the bees, the title of it again?
So one is Amazing You, Getting Smart About Your Private Parts, and the next one is called Changing You, which is really more about your amazing body, puberty, and does contain intercourse.
And if you want to learn more, you can go to drgailsaltz.com. And if you want to learn more about the study she's doing with Tylenol about families, you can go to howiefamily.com.
Gail, your work is incredible, and the world
is a better place because of you.
Dr.
Gail.
Medical school dude.
Thank you. Thank you so much. A pleasure. Hope we'll loop back and do it again.
Sounds good. We have more stuff for you.
Excellent.
All right, bye.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.